This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
This month we saw the launch of a new Gartha Schools programme lesson dedicated to Coco's Law. Developed in partnership with Webwise, the lesson is available to be delivered in secondary schools nationwide now. Coco's Law is aimed at tackling online harassment and the circulation of intimate images. And Mary Hayes, who is the coordinator for Two Into You with Women's Aid, joins me now to talk more about it. Mary, thank you for joining me on the programme this evening. First of all, can you talk me through Coco's Law, what exactly it is and why it was implemented in the first place?
Yeah, so it was brought in firstly around bullying, but really what it is, it focuses on the sharing of intimate images or videos without someone's consent. So basically the law now says that if you share or even threaten to share an intimate image or video of someone without their consent, that that is now a crime under the law in Ireland. So this is really, really important legislation, because unfortunately this is a real reality for many people, and in particular for young people. And it's certainly something that we see in the services in Women's Aid and the young women that we support around things like coercive control.
Talk me through the importance of educating teenagers now on this at a young age. How important is it to intervene now when they're in their teenage years? Of course, speaking of that Coco's Law lesson that's going to be incorporated now in secondary schools.
Yeah, so it's so vital that young people are learning about this now, and, you know, they're learning about it before they turn 18, because I suppose the sharing of intimate images and videos, it's become so normalized now in young relationships. And I suppose with that, you know, images or videos can be shared later on without someone's consent. So even if they were shared or taken consensually in the first place, if they are shared without someone's consent later on, that is also a crime. So I suppose when we look at it in terms of young people's intimate relationships, we often see it coming in as a tactic of control. So, for example, if you are in a relationship and you have a partner who is controlling, you know, there's a pattern of controlling behaviors there, and you decide, okay, you know, I want to break up with this person, I don't feel safe. And then they say, well, if you break up with me, I'm going to share these images or videos of you in the lad's WhatsApp group, or I'm going to post them on a pornography site, that is now a crime. And I suppose that's what's really important. It's not just the fact that it's illegal to share them, it's the threatening to share them that is really, really important for young people to understand, because often this is a tactic that we see in intimate relationship abuse in those younger relationships. So it's really, really positive that we're seeing those lessons now in schools, so young people can learn about this stuff early on.
For young people that are still in the school system and will be doing these lessons now and learning more about this, is there anything more that the parents and the teachers could possibly do to help educate and inform the young people on this, aside from just a lesson plan?
Yeah, well, I suppose we have to remember that often intimate image abuse will happen in the context of an intimate relationship. So it may not be, you know, a stranger or something like that. So it could be someone that a teacher or parent might know is in their child's life. So I suppose there's a couple of things that parents and teachers can do. I suppose promoting healthy relationships, you know, with a foundation of equality and respect is really, really important, so that young people know not just what to expect, but what to seek out, but also, you know, the kinds of relationships that are actually acceptable and normal, because often they don't understand or know or have been taught that these behaviours are harmful or are now a crime. So that's why it's really, really important that they are learning these lessons. But I suppose, you know, I say the phrase domestic violence because that's what's most commonly used, but we don't often think of it happening in younger relationships. But that is the reality, that abuse can happen in young relationships, and it's really, really common. So in Ireland, 1 in 5 young women will be abused by a current or former male partner in their life. And actually, for the majority of those girls, the abuse will happen before they turn 18. So it's so important for parents and teachers to also learn, you know, what the early warning signs of abuse are, what the red flags are, so that they can spot them early on and they're able, you know, they're equipped to have those conversations with those kids early on so that they can intervene in a way that's feel supportive and safe.
What exactly are those early signs and red flags that teachers, parents, but all of us should be looking out for in other people, particularly in this scenario, young people and their relationships?
Yeah, so abuse can be difficult to spot because often it can look like love and romance. So, you know, generally at the start of an abusive relationship, things will move quite fast. So there could be things like love bombing, where somebody will want to capitalize on all your time. They'll want to spend all their time with you. You'll be texting all the time. They might want to move very fast in the relationship, so become exclusive very quickly. And they might want to, you know, introduce you to their friends, to their parents, call you their girlfriend or boyfriend very early on, or say things like I love you. And that can feel really, really normal because that is the message that we're fed, you know, from our families, our friends, pop culture about what romance should look like. But often when you're young and you haven't been in a relationship before, it can be difficult because you've nothing to compare it to. So that can feel really normal and really lovely. Whereas actually it can, first of all, place you under pressure to move quickly or move quicker than maybe you're ready for. And it can also maybe get you to compromise on your boundaries. It also sets up, I suppose, a foundation, the perfect foundation for control later, because it paints that person as this perfect partner. So when things start to turn slowly later on, it can be easy then to think back, well, it wasn't always like this. Maybe it'll go back to that at the start. But then I suppose some of the other ways, the more obvious signs that you might spot in someone might be that they're withdrawing. So it's that they're not hanging out with their friends as much. Maybe they're not continuing in the things that they like to do. So they drop out of their hobbies or sports or things like that. Or they seem, you know, withdrawn. Maybe they're changing how they speak, how they dress, if they were very interested in fashion or, you know, getting their hair and nails done, and they don't seem to want to do that anymore. These can all be early warning signs that somebody is trying to control them. And particularly isolation is a really, really big one as well in young relationships. So somebody telling their partner that their friends are a bad influence on them, or that, you know, they don't like you, that you should just spend all your time with your partner. So there are a lot of red flags, but that's why we have the 2into you website. So it's 2into you.ie, and there's so much information there on the red flags of abuse, the different ways that it can happen. And then there's also a guide on intimate image abuse as well, you know, what to do if you think that's happened to you, how you can look at reporting it, looking at getting photos or videos taken down. So we really are there to support people through this, because it can be, you know, a distressing and frightening experience.
Of course, for anybody. And when we're talking about young people in particular who are still learning about life for the very first time, I can't even imagine the complexities and how worrying that would be. There's been a lot of talk recently about a potential social media ban for under 16s. It's been brought in other parts of the world. Speculation, are we going to get it here eventually? What would your thoughts be on a ban on social media for under 16s?
I mean, it's tricky because young people are online, you know, it's where a lot of them get their information. It's where many of them get support. But I suppose the problem is that so much of the online world is unregulated. So, you know, social media is one thing, but I feel we have slightly bigger fish to fry first, one of those being pornography. You know, pornography is largely unregulated, and it is where the majority of young people in Ireland are learning about sex and about relationships. And unfortunately, it's teaching them things like that violence and misogyny are really normal in relationships, that, you know, boys should dominate their girlfriends, that girls should submit to really violent and aggressive sex like strangulation and things like that. So there are so many things that we need to be looking at in the online world. But I think certainly pornography is probably the most pressing issue for young people online. Then in terms of social media, I mean, it's been interesting to see how it's rolled out in Australia. And you wonder, you know, do then young people go to different spaces to seek connection and seek information? So it's, to be honest, it's tricky to say if it would work here or not. But I think I'm always, I suppose, pro education and pro, you know, empowering young people with information. So even if they are online, that they can critically engage with the content that they're seeing, and that they know that, you know, what's online, it's not all real, that some of it can be really harmful. And I suppose to know where to go then for support if they do need it.
If there is someone listening this evening who sees themselves in a scenario you've described there, whether on our conversation about Coco's Law and online harassment and intimate abuse distribution, image distribution rather, or perhaps even when we were talking about the coercive control or anything to do with the Two Into You campaign, what should somebody do if they've really resonated with that this evening?
Well, firstly, really important to say is I don't want to tell anyone what to do. Okay. So mainly it's about saying to people to listen to yourself and to listen to your gut. So if there's something that resonates this evening, you know, to tap into that and allow yourself the space to think about that. Because it can be frightening, you know, to recognize, okay, maybe I am in an abusive relationship. Maybe I have been a victim of sexual abuse or sexual assault or intimate image abuse in the past. You know, that can be really, really confronting. So I suppose it's to be gentle and patient with yourself, but also to know that there are support services out there for you. Lots of people think that you have to be, you know, in crisis, or that the abuse has to be really, really bad, like it has to be physical in order for you to seek support. But actually, you know, emotional abuse is by far the most common form of abuse for young women in particular. And we know that emotional abuse is really, really serious. It's what keeps so many people trapped in an abusive relationship. But we want people to know that we are here for you and that we'll believe you and support you. So one of the first things that you can do is you can visit twointoyou.ie, and on there we have a relationship quiz, and it's a couple of questions, and it just gets you thinking about your relationship and how your partner makes you feel. So it's not as confronting, and it's not, you know, a test to say, yes, this is an abusive relationship, or no, it's not. It's just a space for you to start thinking and reflecting on how your relationship, how safe you feel in your relationship. And then also we have a chat support service, and that's free and confidential as well. So that's operated by the Women's Aid Helpline team. And really, it's just a listening space. So we don't ask questions. We don't need to know who you are, where you are, what age you are, anything like that. It's really just a space for you to talk about, you know, how your relationship makes you feel, how safe or unsafe you feel in your relationship, what your options are. Or even if you have a question about a friend, you know, many of us may have someone in our life that we're worried about and we don't know how to talk to them or to support them. That service is there for you as well. And then there's also the Women's Aid National 24-hour free phone helpline. So that's 1-800-341-900. And that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, free and confidential. And it's also available in over 240 languages.
Mary Hayes, coordinator for Two Into You with Women's Aid, thank you so much for sharing all of this with us on our radio's group chat this evening. And I'm sure we'll chat to you again.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio. We'll